Morning. Today's daf in Menachos is daf Dalad. We are in Gemal Medbez. We are halfway down the Amud. We're starting today with Rav Ashi. We are addressing the steer within Rebbe Shimon. We go back to the first Mishnah of the Masechta, and we take a look at the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah teaches us that Kol HaMenachos Nikmitzu Shel Lishman, that where the Kemitza is done, and it was done with a Kavana, with an intent by the Kohen of a different type of Mincha, so it would be Kasher Asher Elo Shel Alu L'Balim, except that it just simply does not serve its owner, does not give credit towards its owner, and the owner is going to have to bring a brand new mincha. With notable exceptions, says the Mishnah, minchas chote, minchas kenaos, the mincha of a sinner and the mincha of a sota, where there, a machshav v'shelo l'shman will be a disqualifier, it'll be a posel. And then the Mishnah goes on to give examples. Okay, and this Mishnah obviously sounds familiar, as this Mishnah over here in Menachos is really identical to the first Mishnah of that of Zvachim. We learn the same idea regarding a karban. When it comes to a karban, same basic idea, that if the Kohen, while doing one of the four significant avodas regarding the blood, has a machshava of shelo lishma, so generally it will disconnect the karban from its owner, although the karban itself still maintains its fidelity. Meanwhile, however, by a chatas and by karban pesach, right, obviously you don't have that by a mincha, but by a chatas and by karban pesach, so it will be a postal, it'll disqualify the karban. Good. That's what we learned in our Mishnah, and we have the Shita of Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon seems to argue with our Mishnah, although, to be fair, we're not totally clear what Rebbe Shimon says, because there are two brises, both quoting the opinion of Rebbe Shimon, and the brises do not give a parallel representation of what Rebbe Shimon said. There is a brise on the top of Beis Amud Beis that says that according to Rebbe Shimon, Kol HaMenachos Nikmitzu Shelo Lishman Ksheiros Ve'alu L'Balim L'Shem Chova Sheina Menachos Dam L'Sezvachim. So he says, look, I agree by Karbanos in general, this idea of Shelo Lishman, but I do not maintain this position when it comes to a Mincha. And in the Braisa, he goes on to explain what's the difference between a Mincha and a Karban. So he says, because when it comes to Menachos, so each Mincha is done differently. So the action of each Mincha already speaks for itself, right? This idea of action speaking louder than words, which seems to be the simple way of understanding Rebbe Shimon. And since each mincha is prepared in its own special manner, you have something which is baked in an oven, you have something which is fried in a flat in a flat griddle, you have something that is fried in a deep dish. So because there are different manners in which the mincha is prepared, any machshava that's had by the Kohen at the time of preparation, or at the time of the kemitza, is simply going to be disregarded because ma'aseha mochichin aleha. Because the actions that you're doing are self-evident, and therefore the machshava just simply is ignored. Right? Divrei Hevel. On the other hand, there's another brisa of Rebbe Shimon which comes up on Beis Amud Beis. Also, I'm sorry, I should say better. Also on Beis Amud Beis, halfway down in the Amud, Ditanya. The Gemara quotes this brisa, Rebbe Shimon, Omer Kodesh Kadashim Hi Kechatas V'Kasham, Yesh Mem Kechatas V'Yesh Mem Kasham, meaning we're comparing the Mincha, the Torah is comparing the Mincha to an Asham and a Chatas. Minchas Chote Hare Hi Kechatas L'Fichach Kimtza Shelo Lishma Psula Kechatas. If you have a Mincha and you do the Kemitza Shelo Lishma, it's disqualified. And then Minchas, and that's by a Minchas Chote. Minchas Nadava Hare Kashm Lafika Kimsa Shalishma Kshera Kashera. Ukasha Masham Kashavena Maratza of Minchas Nadava Ksheravena Maratza. However, if it's a Minchas Nadava, so it's treated like an Ashram, just like by Karman Ashram Shalishma. It is not a posel, but it's disconnected from its owner. Same thing with a Minchas Nadava. A Shalishma Machshava is not a posel, but it will disconnect it from its owner. Meaning, basically what we learned back in the Mishnah. So we have a steer between Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Shimon. In the course of yesterday's daf, so we learned together two ways to resolve the stira between Rebbe Shimon. Let's say both of these answers outside. First, we saw yesterday the opinion of Rabba with a hey. Rabba's of the opinion that the discrepancy between the two mishnayos can be resolved. One Bryce is talking about Shinui Kodesh, and the other one is talking about Shinui Bailim. Shinui Kodesh, where the Kohen, while doing one of the significant avodas by a mincha, has in mind another type of mincha, so that's the first Bryce. Disregard the machshava. Why? Because ma'aseh mochichin aleha. Because look what he's doing. Meaning, again, each mincha is prepared in its special, unique manner, and so therefore the actions of what is done is being done is going to far overweigh that thought which is articulated by the Kohen. Masha Enki in the second brisa, which says that a machshava will be a posel, that's shinui bailim. Not as self-evident who exactly the owner is. If the Kohen attempts to change who the owner is by articulating a different owner, so again, then it will have consequences. If it's a minchas chote or a minchas sota, so it'll be a posel. If it's a minchas nedava, disconnected from its owner. That is Rabbah's answer, and the Gemara spent half of yesterday's daf, all of Gimel Amud Aleph, analyzing and testing this thesis of Rabbah. Second answer that's given is on the top of Gimel Amud Beis, and that's of Rava. Rava says the distinction between the two brises is when the Kohen is trying to make a deviation from one mincha to another type of mincha, where there it will have no effect. Masha Einkein, the second brise is talking about a case where the Kohen is making a deviation from a mincha to a zevach. Okay. Now this obviously begs an explanation. Why should there be a difference? What he's trying to deviate it from to what he's trying to deviate it to? And the Gemara gave one yesterday on Gimel Amud Beis. And for Rava, the explanation is that when the Torah introduces us to the world of Menachos, the Torah says, Zos Torah Samincha. Zos Torah Samincha tells us that Menachos are one umbrella category. It's one corporation. Now, within the corporation of Mincha, you have, obviously, different types of Menachos. You have a Machvas, you have a Marcheshes, you have Mafet Tanur, you have different types, but they all file under one entity. And since that's the case, when the Kohen does a shinui from one mincha to another mincha, although obviously he should not do that, but it's not going to have any kind of lasting effect. It will not be posel, it will not disconnect, because it all really is categorically all mincha. Masha Einkein, if he's trying to deviate from a mincha to a zevach, obviously they do not file under the same category, and so therefore that is a shinui, that is a deviation, and therefore it will have its effects. What effects will it have? It will have the effects of either it will be a disconnector from its owner, lo alu labalim, or it will be a postal, depending on the type of mincha that it is. This is our second approach within Rava. Now, it's difficult, and the Gemara made this point. I'm just repeating the Gemara's point from yesterday. It's difficult because that's not what Rabbi Shimon says. Meaning, if you read the wording of Rabbi Shimon in Braisa number 1, on Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon says, why is it that a shinui is not going to affect it? Meaning you already have a built-in reason in the Braisa itself. It has to do with the fact that each mincha is prepared in its own special and unique way. So the reason is already provided in Braisa number 1, and for Rava now, in his explanation, he's really providing a totally different reason, Zos Taras HaMincha, that categorically all the menachos file under one entity. And so it's hard to read Rava into the Braisa. If you remember the Gemara yesterday, so Rava tried. He tried to read his explanation into the Braisa. We did that yesterday. We're up to now explanation number 3 of the Gemara, Rav Ashi, and this is where we're picking up where we left off yesterday. Rav Ashi Amar Lo Kasha. So here we are now with the third approach of the Gemara, how to resolve the differences between Rabbi Shimon of Braisa number 1 versus Rabbi Shimon of Braisa number 2. So Amar Rav Ashi, it's right in the middle of the Amud. It's the last four words in the line. Rav Ashi Amar Lo Kasha, kan bekomitz machvas l'shum marcheshes, kan bekomitz minchas machvas l'shum minchas marcheshes. The discrepancy, the difference between the two brises is whether you say the word machvas marcheshes by themselves, or you say minchas machvas and minchas marcheshes. And what's the difference? And so the difference is that when you say machvas, well, the Gemara is going to say machvas l'shem marcheshes b'mana kamechashev u'machshav b'mana lo pasla. When you say the words machvas and marcheshes, your focus right now, the intent focus right now is on the keli, on the utensil itself. I'm having right now a shinui machshava on a, not a karban, and not even a mincha, but the kli that it's in. Is there such an intent to have an effect on the kli? No, doesn't have any effect whatsoever. Meaning the machshava is only going to have an effect on the actual karban itself. It's the content of the kli where the machshava is going to be a posel. However, minchas machvas, l'shem minchas marcheshes, b'mincha de pasla ba machshava, kamechashev. So fine. And as it relates to when he adds the words mincha, so clearly now his machshav, his intent now is going on the content of the kli, which obviously is the mincha itself. That's the flower offering itself. Consequently, what comes out now is that if the machshav is going on the mincha b'machva or the mincha b'marcheshes, obviously it will have an effect. And again, depending on the mincha, it either will disconnect or will disqualify. Fine. Now the Gemara says, now again, we're going to run into the same problem that we had with Rava. Meaning, so good. So the difference between the Braisa number 1, Braisa number 2. Braisa number 1, which says it doesn't affect it whatsoever, is because the machshava is only going on the kli. And there's no machshava that affects the kli. And the second Braisa that says that it does, the machshava does affect, according to Rabbi Shimon, is going on the content of the kli. Great. So a difference is made, a differentiation is made. However, once again, same problem that we had with Rava. Read the Braisa. When you read the Braisa, it comes out clearly that the Braisa spells out its own reason why. And now what Rav Ashi is doing is he's giving a new reason why. And the Gemara is bothered by that. Read the Braisa. The Braisa says that the basis, the reason behind Rabbi Shimon is because Ma'aseh Mochichin Ala. Look at the actions. The actions are speaking louder than the words. It has nothing to do, like Rav Ashi is suggesting, with whether the Machshava is going on the Kli or the Machshava is going on the content of the Kli. Meaning, how do you read that in the Braisa? So Hachi Kamar, so the Gemara is going to have to do what it did back for Rav, and that is, we're going to have to read into the Braisa. Okay? And we'll read it like this. Afa gav de Machshava minkar hi tipasel. Even though the Machshava is clearly recognizable, meaning we can read into his thoughts, meaning we know that he's talking about the Machvas, he's saying the word Machvas, but in other words, obviously what's behind what he's articulating about the type of pan that it is the content of the pan. And still the point is that it doesn't matter. If the only words that come out of his mouth is Machvas or Macheshes, and he doesn't say Mincha, so therefore, the intent is going exclusively only on the keli, and therefore it will not affect it. Umayav abezvachem enokain. And then what? Then how do you read the next part of the braisa about the contrast? Well, you know, menachos are not like zvachem. Again, what does that have to do with the way Rav Ashi is understanding the main point of Rav Shimon? Avagav deshchita achas akulan zvicha achas akulan kabal achas akulan bezvicha de pasla be machshava kamechashev. You see, when it comes to a karban, again, it's one standard way of doing the karbanos. There's one uniform way of shechita, kabbalas adam, zrika. It's all standard for every karban. And as we already explained yesterday, even though in terms of zrika, some are one, some are two, some are four, but li'ikuva, every one of the karbanos only requires one zrika. So even though there's one standard practice of karbanos, still the machshava is always going to be going on the karban, and since the machshava is always going to be going on the karban, so therefore it's always going to have its effect. Okay, so this is how the Gemara understands Rav Ashi. So basically, whether or not, so it comes out now that according to Rav Ashi, what's the key for Rabbi Shimon? The key is whether or not the machshava is going on the karban or something external to the karban. If it's going on the karban, meaning when I say karban now, I mean either the animal or the actual flower itself. So if the machshava is hitting the karban, so then obviously it will have its effect. But if it's hitting something which is external, meaning if he says just the word machvas or just the word macheshes, so the machshava is now only going on the instrument on the pan, and therefore will not have its effect. So the Gemara says, let's test this theory out. Amle Ravach Breda Rebbe Ravashi Chareva Mishum Belula Amai. Look at the other examples that we learned together in the Braisa. The other example was where it was a chareva. Chareva means that it's a dry mincha, meaning it has no oil. And he says the words balula, in other words, the Kohen now has a machshava that this should be a mincha with an oil. It's a different type of mincha. And yet, in Braisa number one, Rabbi Shimon says it won't affect it. Now, we're not talking about the pan. We're talking about the mincha itself. So I'm Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, so now, what explanation do you have for Rabbi Shimon based on Rav Ashi's way of understanding Rabbi Shimon? It's a good question. So Amar Le Lushum Bila Ba'ama. Well, what we could say is that the word Balula, even though, yes, contextually when it comes to Menachos, you say the word Balula, you generally mean a mincha that has oil mixed in it. But over here, the word Balula, you know what? It could be reinterpreted. Balula could just simply mean that, you know what? Bila Ba'ama. I'm just going to mix it together. But in other words, it's not necessarily an adjective describing the mincha itself. It's just simply a term that could be kind of dismissed. It could be understood that, hey, I'm going to mix, right? The Kohen's up there, it's a chareva, it's a non-oil mincha, and he throws out the word balula, and we could just simply say, ah, you know what he meant? He meant I'm mixing it. That's how it could be understood. Ihachi, the Gemara says, really? So the Shum Shlamim Nami, Lashum Shlamim Ba'ama. So the Gemara says, okay, so if we're allowed to reinterpret the words of the Kohen, so let's imagine. Let's go to a carbon. He's shechting a carbon ola and he's screaming out Shlamim. And you know what? We could just simply reinterpret his words. Meaning, you want to understand him to mean that he's talking about a reassignment of the carbon from an ola to a Shlamim? No. You know when he's saying the word Shlamim, he's saying peace. Peace be upon everyone. He's a very holy Kohen. Okay, so the Lashum Shlamim Ba'ama, Hachi Asha, Hasam Zevach Gufa, Ikre Shlamim, Dichtiva Makrif, Zama Shlamim, Azorik, Zama Shlamim. So the Gemara says over there, you can't do that. You can't do that. Because the word Shlamim in the context of Karbanos has one very specific meaning, a Karban Shlamim. The Torah uses the word Shlamim in the context of a Karban, and so therefore, Shlamim over there, it could be reinterpreted, but not in that context. But Hacha Mincha Gufa, Mi Ikre Belula. But do you have a mincha itself being referred to as belula? Meaning belula is a word that is used in the Torah, that part's true, but the mincha itself is never defined or described as belula. V'chol minchas belula b'shemen. It just simply means that the Torah uses the word belula, but in the context of you're mixing oil with it. So the word belula is not a actual proper noun, it's just simply it's an instruction in terms of how to prepare it. So v'chol mincha belula b'shemen k'siv. Belula b'shemen ikre belula stama lo ikre. You don't have a mincha referred to as belula. So it does allow us at least to entertain the idea that when the Kohen's screaming out the word belula, it could just simply mean the Kohen's saying, I'm mixing it, but not necessarily trying to redefine, repurpose this carbon. So kula, okay, fine. And that brings us now basically to the end of the discussion. What do we have? The theory between Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon and Braisa number one says that a shinui, a machshava that is intent on trying to change the carbon. By an animal, we know that it's going to have an effect. Either disconnect or disqualify, depending on what kind of carbon it is. By a mincha, we learned in our Mishnah, also same thing. Rabbi Shimon and Braisa number one disagrees with our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon and Braisa number two agrees with our Mishnah. So how do you understand Rabbi Shimon? So we have three approaches so far over the course of yesterday's daf. Rabba, Rava, and Ravashi. Again, let's just quickly recap. Rabba was of the opinion that the distinction, the delineation between Braisa number one and Braisa number two is Shinui Kodesh versus Shinui Bailim. Rabba is of the opinion that it's a question of what he's trying to reassign it to. If he's reassigning it to another mincha, that's fine, because Zos Torah is a mincha. It's categorically all fit into one category. If he's trying to reassign it to another karban, meaning to a zevach, so then it's going to have the shino is going to have its effect. And finally, the opinion of Rav Ashi, what is the machshava going on? Is it going on the content of the kli, or is it going on the kli itself? And Braisa number one, it's going on the kli itself. That's machvas marcheshes, it's going strictly on the kli. A machshava will not affect the kli itself. But if it says mincha, machvas and michas marcheshes, and then the intent is going on the content of the kli, and therefore it will have its effect. Okay, those are our three answers.
So the three answers are for Rabbi Shimon's explanation, but bottom line, Rabbi Shimon is not accepted.
Right, in other words, right. Correct. It's an analysis of an opinion that is not accepted. That's correct. The Gemara goes through now, Wakulu Karabalo Amri de Adarabba Machshava de Minchura Pasal Rachmanim. The dismissal of Rabbah, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we dismiss Rabbah. Because the machshava de minkra Pasal Rachmanim. Because the argument of Rabbah could be made just in the opposite manner. Meaning, look what he's doing. Isn't the action speak louder than the words? And the counter argument is, well, no. Meaning, if what he's saying is going against what he's doing, so what greater stira do you have than that? Meaning, that obviously creates a stira, and therefore the machshava is going to have its effect. So you could just simply take the argument of actions being louder than words, and the counter argument is, hey, this is karbanos. Machshava obviously is very significant, and if the machshava is clearly counteracting what he's doing, so then it's going to have an effect. And karavalo amri v'zos to olamashma lehu. And now, the dismissal of Rava, because Rava's building his entire answer on his understanding of zos torasa mincha. And the counter-argument is no. In other words, that's not the purpose of the Torah introducing us to zos torasa mincha. And karavashi lo amri mishim kushi derav achabre derava. And as far as the answer of Ravashi, whether the kavana and the intent is going on the kli or going on the content of the kli, so the dismissal of his answer, well, we already went through it. Meaning, look at the next line of Rabbi Shimon, right? Chareva belula, that has nothing to do with the kli, and yet Rabbi Shimon says it won't. The machshava won't have an effect. Okay, milsa de pshita le rabba ula haigisa ula rava la haigisa mibay le rav oshia. Now, for Rabba, the point was clear in one direction. For Rava, the point is clear in another direction. And Rav Oshia is somewhere in between, and the Gemara is about to explain. Debai Rav Oshia, Rav Oshia asked the following question, Vamila ba minei Rav Oshia mei Rav Asi. Slightly different girsa, but same basic idea. Rav Oshia is asking the question. Mincha l'shem zevach, mali amar Rabbi Shimon. Let's say the Kohen has a machshava, and he's doing a shinui, and a significant shinui. It's a mincha, And the Kohen now is trying to reassign it towards a Zevach. And for now for Rebbe... You could have asked this question yesterday, which doesn't mean that the question is any less... right, that's right. That's right. I was off site. So fine. So how can that be? It's really hard. It's hard to imagine. Meaning, in other words, it's flour. It's not an animal. It's not a living entity. It's not a
Could it be for some zavakim that has mincha associated with them? And they say this mincha is not for this zavak, for any zavak.
It's hard. It's hard. The question on the table is right now, and I appreciate the question. Right? How can the Kohen even articulate that this is for a karban when it's a mincha that's in front of him? But in other words, but for Rabbi Shimon, though, we know that at least in Braisa number one, a reassignment of a carbon for Rabbi Shimon is not significant. That's what we learned together in Braisa number one. Because Menachos, again, Masem Ochichen Alaha. That's the way the Braisa presents it. Now, Rav Oshia says, but what if I reassign it to something that is so totally different? Meaning not to another type of mincha, but to another type of carbon altogether. So again, so we already know what Rabbah would say when we already know what Rava would say, but that's exactly the point of the Gemara. Rav Oshia stands somewhere in the middle. So, L'shum Zevach Mali Amar Rabbi Shimon, on the very top of Dalam Adal. So what would Rabbi Shimon say? Time to Rabbi Shimon, Mishum Achshava de Minkar lo Pasla, V'ham Achshava de Minkar Ehu. Is the basis of Rabbi Shimon because a Machshava Minkar lo Pasla, so in other words, if it's self-evident that what you are saying is totally absurd, like all the examples that we saw in Rabbi Shimon, it's a Marcheshes, it's a deep pan, and the Kohen is screaming out, this is a machvas. Okay, but look at the pan. Meaning it's a clear absurdity. So over here, it's also a clear absurdity. In other words, it's a mincha, and the Kohen's screaming out, it's an ola. Okay, so again, it's a clear absurdity. So is that the basis behind Rabbi Shimon? Odilma tamid Rabbi Shimon mishim d'ksiv v'zos toras ha-mincha. V'zevach lo ksiv. Or maybe no. Maybe the reason behind Rabbi Shimon is zos toras ha-mincha. Again, this goes now to Rava's point. That all the karbanos... Let me say it better. All the menachos are one corporate entity. And marcheshes and machvas are all subdivisions within mincha. So if he's trying to reassign it from machvas to marcheshes, the reason why it doesn't disqualify is because it's all within the same family. Masha Enkein, if he's making a deviation from mincha to karban, so obviously now you're moving to a different entity, to a different corporation altogether, and so therefore it simply doesn't work. So again, so what do we see? That Rav Oshia is now somewhere vacillating between Rabba and Rava. And the Gemara says, Odim atamid Rav Shimon Shem dechsiv v'zeos toras ha-mincha v'zevach lo ksiv. I'm sorry, I read that already. Amar lei klumi gan l'sof da'at al Rabbi Shimon. And Rav Oshia says, I don't know the answer, and also just a confession. We don't fully understand Rabbi Shimon. We know what Rabbi Shimon says, but in terms of analysis, in terms of understanding, we are limited in terms of understanding the opinion of the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Ki Rabba lo mishani lei mishim kushya da'abaye. Why didn't Rav Oshia take a position, a clear position on this? So the Gemara says, well, as far as Rabba is concerned, because of all the questions of Abaye, meaning Gimel Amud Aleph, meaning Abaye attacked again and again the opinion of Rabba, that it has to do with an articulation that's going against an action that's self-evident. And Abaye asked from all the various cases where it seems to be that this is not true. And Karevalo Mishan Lemishim Koshi Vezos Taras Achatas. And as far as Rav Oshia now agreeing to the position of Rava, well, he didn't like that because of the question of Zos Taras Achatas. Remember yesterday's daf? Right? Zos Taras Amincha. What does that do? That takes all the menachos and puts it under one entity, one corporation. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we also have a pasuk Zos Taras Achatas, which means that every chatas should be treated the same. And even if the coin tries to deviate from one chatas to another type of chatas, so it should be okay, right? And meanwhile, it's not okay. That's what we discussed yesterday. And so that was that's a complication with why Zos Taras HaMincha does not seem to be what you're suggesting. And finally, Rav Ashi Lama Shana Lai Mishim Kushi De Rav Acha Brei De Rava. And as far as understanding like Rav Ashi, where the intent is going on the Kli versus the content of the Kli, well, the Gemara says, well, you already dismissed that because look on in Rabbi Shimon where he talks about the differences between Charev and Belula. Adkan. Okay, so where do we stand right now? An analysis of Rabbi Shimon, and a long analysis of Rabbi Shimon, meaning a daf and a half. Rabbi Shimon's position is first introduced to us on Beis Amud Beis, and from Beis Amud Beis to all of Gimel Amud Aleph and all of Gimel Amud Beis and the top of Dal Amud Aleph, the Gemara gives us an analysis of the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, it's part of the corpus. We go over this point a number of times. It's part of the corpus of Torah. It's in other words, it's a chelik of Torah, even though la halacha it's not accepted, but still, the Gemara feels it's a value to spend time analyzing the Shita of Rabbi Shimon.
So what happens if it's rejected, Rabbi Shimon is rejected and go by Mishnah itself, so what happens if somebody does that? I mean,
so again, so if it's a Minchas Nedava, so it'll disconnect. If it's a Minchas Chote or Minchas Sote,
if it changes the type of Mincha itself, meaning like the type itself, it doesn't affect?
It will affect. So in other words, it will. It will, in other words, it will affect. We follow the Mishnah. And the Mishnah's examples, the Mishnah uses exactly our examples. Well, the Mishnah, to be fair, the Mishnah doesn't use the examples of Machvas and Marcheshes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. But seemingly, that would be a Shinui. Chutz miminchas chote, minchas kenaos. Okay, and now two notable exceptions where it doesn't disconnect, it disqualifies. Okay, and this is now we're going back to our Mishnah. And we're leaving the world of Rabbi Shimon, and we're going back to the world of our Mishnah. And the Mishnah now is talking about Shinui. So again, by a Minchas Nedava, disconnection. And every time I say disconnection, what's meant by that is that the Mincha itself is still good. You go, the Kohen goes through the procedure of the Mincha, the Kemitza, the putting the Kometz into a Klisheni, into a second Klisharis, the Holacha, the Haktaras HaKemitza, the Kohanim consuming the Shayarim, etc., etc. The procedure of the mincha is done accordingly. It's just now, as far as the owner is concerned, he gets no credit. Why? Because the Kohen had a shinui. That's by minchas nedava. By minchas chote and minchas sota, disqualification. Where if the Kohen has a shinui, any kind of shinui, so then the mincha becomes disqualified. And so the question the Gemara is going to deal with is why? Why is it disqualified? And so Bishlam and Minchas Chote Chatas Kari Rechmana. So as far as Minchas Chote is concerned, so the simplest explanation which the Gemara provides is that it's a carbon chatas. Meaning, we all understand, it's not a carbon chatas in the classic sense that it's not an animal, but still the function of this particular type of mincha is to provide a kapara. And since it's there to provide a kapara, so therefore, just like a carbon chatas, we learned in the first Mishnah Zvachim, a shinu is going to disqualify. Same thing is true over here. By a mincha, a shinu is going to disqualify. And how do I know that they're treated the same? Because let's read the psukim in the Torah. Lo yasim ala shemem v'lo yiten ala levona ki chatas. He, the Torah, says it's a chatas, meaning this type of mincha. So ala minchas kanaos minalan. But what about minchas kanaos mincha v'sota? Now, it's not there for kapara. Right, we're going to say this a number of times over the course of our Masechta. The purpose of the mincha that is offered by the Sota is not atonement, it's clarification. We do not know what happened with that woman in the room with that man. Obviously, we have our suspicions. And the Torah now says that because she went through due process, she received a warning from her husband, the first Mishnah in Sota, in front of two witnesses, although that's subject to a machlokas. And then she secluded herself with a man, but in other words, the witnesses did not see anything beyond the seclusion. So we do not know if she committed adultery. However, because there was a trail of circumstantial evidence, so therefore she now is classified as a sota. From this point going forward, she is now usher to her husband. She now can no longer be with her husband from a marriage. In other words, and I want to make this point as clear as possible. They are still married. Halachically, they are husband and wife. However, at the very same time, there is an isser for him to be with her, right? And obviously that's a tension. But that's exactly what the Torah says. They're married, and yes, she's usher to him. And at that point in time, the only way that her status becomes resolved is, well, it could be, first of all, it could be done without a carbon, and that is an admission. She just simply says, yes, I committed adultery. Which at that point in time now means that he's going to divorce her. And of course, with that admission, she'll have to forfeit her ksuva. Or if she does not want, she doesn't want to admit, now we go to the base of Mikdash, and now the carbon is brought, the mincha sota is brought, and that will create clarification in terms of whether or not she was mezana or she was not mezana. So the whole point of me retelling this is so that we understand that the purpose of this mincha is not kapara, it is birur, it's clarification. So now with that stated, so now if a kohen while doing the mincha sota has a shinui, it will pasel the mincha. And the Gemara now's question is, what's the source of that? And don't file this under kapara because it's not kapara. So then we need a source. Minchas Kanos Menalan Didni Tanakam de Rav Nachman Minchas Kanos Mosra Nedava. So the following Bryce has taught, and that is that you have a Minchas Sota, and it's Mosra, and you have a residual. I'll explain that better in just a moment. So what happens to any residual of it? It goes Nedava. It goes to one of the Pushkas in the Beis Hamikdash, which will then be applied to a Karban Ola. Look at Rashi. Rashi over here is four lines down from the top. Mosra Nedava. Hifrish Mosra Minchasota. Vahavu Amos Yoster Minasaorim. So let's say money was set aside for the Karban Sota. So you have money, which is earmarked as Sota, as Minchasota money. And then they buy the barley. And it turns out now that there was extra money. That extra money can't just simply be pocketed, meaning because since that money was earmarked, so therefore that money has kedusha. What do you do with that money? Yiplu l'nedava. Da'ayinu l'shosh esrei shofar sh'ayu b'mikdash, v'ayinosem mehem otsan maus, u'chishayah mizbech batel, hayikonim mehem kvasim, la'olos abasar, l'shem v'aros l'kohanim, v'karalei nedava sibor. That extra money is going to be deposited in one of the pushkas, specifically in the last seven of those 13 pushkas, where at a time when it's a slow season in the Beis HaMikdash, money is going to be drawn from there, carbon olas are going to be purchased, offered on the Mizbeach, totally, hides go to the Kohanim. Fine. So, what do we gain from all that? That basically, the way we're treating the Mincha Sota is the same way we'd be treating the Halachas of a Chatos. Meaning we'd be doing the same thing with Moser Chatos. If there was money set aside for carbon chatas and you bought your carbon chatas and it turns out there was surplus, so that surplus is also put into the pushka. I'm a shapi kamart, and he says, excellent, meaning you are right. Maskeras avon ksiv ba, in other words, as it relates to the carbon of the mincha v'sota, the Torah describes it as a maskeras avon, and v'chatas ksiv v'osan osan lachem l'seses avon ha'ida, and by a carbon chatas we have the same word avon, which creates for us a gzera shava. Machatas mosra nedava, av mincha kenos mosra nedava. Just like by a carbon chatas, the surplus goes to the nedava, like we just described, so too by the surplus of a sota, mincha sota, it goes into the nedava. And so what we have just accomplished through the gzera shava is that we have learned that we are going to equate the halacha of moser chatas to moser mincha sota. And now once we have a gzera shava, and once the portals open between these two karbanos, so let's just keep going. Ukechatas, machatas, psula shalosh shma, mincha kenos, psula shalosh shma. And finally, we have arrived at our point. And that is once that we have a gzera shava, and once the portal between these two get opened up, so all the halachas now get to transfer between one and another. And just like by karban chatas, we know that shalosh shma will be a posel. By mincha sota, same thing. A shalosh shma will be a posel. Elamiata, the Gemara says, okay, so gzera shava, really. So Elamiata, Hashem Yei Pasul Shalosh Shmo, the Gemara Avon Michatas. So the Gemara says, now we know that the word Avon is also used in conjunction to the Karban Hashem. And so now what? Gzera shava, right? Meanwhile, but that's not true. By Karban Hashem, a Shalosh Shmo will not disqualify. So the Gemara says, Dan an Avon Avon, Vein Dan an Avono Me Avon. Now the Gemara didn't cite the Pasuk with regards to the Karban Hashem. We will see in just a moment that the word that's used in the Karban Hashem is not the word avon, but it's avona. And so the Gemara says, well, we have a gzera shava, we're going to use words that match and not words that don't match perfectly. Avon, avon, connecting the chatas to the mincha sota is avon, and they're identical words, and therefore it's a better gzera shava. As opposed to over here, it's avon, avona. Now, I know the overarching question, which we repeat throughout Shas, and that is, what are we doing over here? Meaning, gzera shavas are not just simply random, and it's not just simply word search. Meaning, gzera shava is only when you have a Masorah. So you either have a Masorah or you don't have a Masorah. And what's the Gemara doing having a discussion of, well, what word matches better? Well, what do you mean? Either you have the Masorah or you don't have the Masorah. And I know that I'm not ready right now to provide a satisfying answer to that question. But in other words, it's a constant difficulty whenever we discuss gzera shava like we're discussing now. Now, my nafkamina, now the Gemara here, and I'll suggest that this is probably the most frequently asked question throughout Shas. And the Gemara says, so the gzera shava words don't match perfectly. So what? V'hatan debe Rav Yishmael v'shavakono v'akon zu shiva v'zu ibia. Without going through the halachas right now, just for our purposes right now, all we need to know is that gzera shava is created, and it's not even the same word. It's ushav uba. But since the intent of the word, the definition of the word, is the same, that's enough to create a gzeres shava. So the va'o, the Gemara says, ligmar avona avona mi avon dushmias kol. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, the words don't match. Okay, so you know what? We'll find a perfect match. The word avono is the word used by Karban Hashem. We have the word, same word avono used in the in Shmias Kol. When a Kohen, no, sorry, not a Kohen. When anybody tries to suppress testimony, he's asked by the Beis Din, do you have information? He says, no, and I swear to you, I don't have information. Under those circumstances, that's when a person brings a Karban Chatas, it's an Ola V'yored, which means that can also be a Mincha as well. And dechsev im lo yagiven asavono. So Ella, so the Gemara says, so fine. So number one, to create a gzeres shava, it doesn't have to be a perfect match. Number two, even if you don't like that idea, I can find a perfect match with the word avono from Karban Hashem. So the Gemara says, Ella ki gemiri gzeres shava lamosa nedavahu degemiri. So the Gemara says like this. We're going to go back to our original premise. There is a gzeres shava created between a sota, the mincha of a sota, and that of a chatas. But once the portal is open, you know what? We're only learning one halacha, and that is Moser, the surplus. We're not going to be learning an additional halacha beyond that. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. The Gemara says, you can't do that. V'chi teima in gzera shava l'machza. Now, gzera shava cannot go halfway. Meaning, once you have gzera shava, and once you have words connecting two different halachas, and creating a portal, once the portal's open, the door's open. Between this and that. And so, between A and B. And once the door is open, so whatever halachas can transfer from A to B, we're going to transfer from A to B. And ein gzeres shava lamechza. You can't tell me that, oh, we're only learning one halacha from one to the other. In this particular context, right, the halacha of Moser and Nedava, that any surplus goes to the Pushkin, the Beis HaMikdash. And we're not learning any other halacha, specifically the halachas of Lishma. Well, we can't do that. So the Gemara says, no, over here we can. Right, ein gzeres shava lamechza, gal rechmana gavichatas. The Gemara says, no, over here you can't. I'll tell you why. Because over here, when it comes to the Karban Chatas and the halachas of Lishma, we know the halacha of Lishma as it relates to Chatas is limited and capped at only Karban Chatas. How do I know that? V'shachar osa l'chatas. Osa l'shma k'sherim, shal l'shma p'sula, aval kol ha-kadashim, bein l'shma, bein shal l'shma k'sherim. Because we have a special drasha that teaches us that the shal l'shma, which disqualifies, is specific only to a Karban Chatas. Now, we can go all the way back to the beginning of Zvachim, and just to remind one another, it does also apply to the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach, on the afternoon of Erev Pesach, but we're not going to go all the way back to the beginning, but if you go back all the way to the beginning, there is a notable exception. But for our purposes right now, let's just learn our Gemara Kipshuto. It only applies to Karban Chatas and the Shalol Lishma Halacha. Does not extend to any other kabanos, and therefore, yes, in this context, the gzeres shava is going to be limited. So elaminchas chote minchas kanaus to psul shaloshma minalan. So what does that do? It really brings us back to square one, our original question: shaloshma disqualifies a mincha sota. Why? So we think now, up until now, we tried the path of gzeres shava. The Gemara says gzeres shava is not going to get us there; it's a limited gzeres shava. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're back to square one. So the Gemara says, "Chatas time amai mishum deksiv behi ha'chinam ha'ksiv behuhi." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but by the chatas we have a drasha, and the drasha is predicated on the word he. So by the mincha sota we also have the word he, and since we have the word he as it relates to the mincha v'sota, so therefore, therefore it means that the shlolishma will disqualify. If you look back at the beginning of the entire sugya." Right, where the Gemara quotes the pasuk by the sota, lo yasim ala hashemen, you don't put oil on the mincha of the sota, lo yitain ala lavona, nor do you put lavona on it, ki chatas he. So, key in on the word he is telling us that it has to be done l'shma. And if it's done shalal l'shma, it's simply not, it's not recognized as a sota, as a mincha sota, it's disqualified. The Gemara says, now this should sound familiar, we did this back in Zvachim, we're reviewing this over here as well, Hashem nami, haksiv bahi, or I should say better who, Hashem is a male animal. By the Karban Hashem, the Torah also uses the word who. And so shouldn't we invoke the same rule that Shalol Lishma disqualifies? The Gemara says, no. Ha hu hu. Right, a little tricky Gemara to read. Ha hu hu. That who, meaning the word who in the Torah, is la'achar aktaris imurim hu dichsev. No, that's only talking about after the Hashem was offered and the burning of the imurim. And the Brisa makes this point very clearly. the word hu as it relates to the Karban Hashem is only after the burning of the Imurim, or going on the burning of the Imurim, not on the actual Avodah itself. Hu atzmo shlo hukta reimur of kasher. And remember, even if the Imurim are not burnt, the Hashem is still good. As long as the Avodah with the blood is done correctly, the owner receives a check. Ve'elahu lamali. And it goes back to Halacha, which we've gone over many times, and that is the Karban Asham can be repurposed as a Karban Ola, but only if it's repurposed. That's only if it's Nitak. Now, exactly what Nitak means, we discussed earlier, the Rishonim debate exactly how repurposing is done, but the point is that without repurposing, a Asham remains, that's the word who. The Asham remains a Karban Asham, and if it's shechted without a reassignment of it, it cannot be repurposed as a Karban Ola, and we learned that from the word Hu. Okay, so in other words, so to our original question, a Mincha Sota, if a Kohen is offering it, Shelo L'shma, it's disqualified, how do I know that? So the answer now is very, very definitive. It's generated from the word he used in the context of the Torah's description of the Mincha Sota. Okay, Amarav. What are we going to do now for the rest of today's daf? We're going to add more things to the list of Menachos, where if it's Shelo L'shma, so it will be disqualified. Now, I admit, in other words, as we're about to embark on the second half of today's daf, it's a little bit difficult, and what I'm going to do is just simply foreshadow the Gemara's question. How can you add to the list? The Mishnah gives us a comprehensive list, doesn't it? Meaning the Mishnah says that when it comes kol ha-menachos, that all the menachos which are offered, shelo l'shma, will disconnect except for, and the Mishnah only gives us two, which are disqualifiers, the mincha v'chote and the mincha v'sota. And that's it. And so what the Gemara now is attempting to do is add more to the list of disqualifiers. Admittedly, it's a little bit difficult when the Mishnah seems to be giving us the list of exceptions. Although, I mean, the Gemara is going to address this question, so I'm not breaking ground over here by asking this. Although, you could say what we've said in the past, which is that even when the Mishnah is telling us these are the exceptions, that it's not an absolute. Meaning the Mishnah could just simply be highlighting exceptions, but there could be others. Could be. Let's see the Gemara inside. We're on the very bottom of Dalam and Aleph. Amarav. Mincha sa'omer shekamsa shalol shma psula. Let's add to the list of mincha of the Karban Omer. Second day of Pesach, we're going to be spending in this Masechta an entire perek dedicated to the topic of the Mincha Omer. It'll be an exciting perek, A, because we get to talk about the Omer, but B, because we also talk about Sfiras Omer. So that perek will be dedicated to somewhat more of a halachically based discussion, meaning unfortunately for us, without a base of Mikdash, a lot of the Masechta is theoretical. But when it comes to the Karban Omer, so because we have Sfiras Omer, it'll be a little bit more practically based. And by the way, that is the sixth parak of the Masechta. Stay tuned. It starts on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Anyway, the Karban Omer is offered on the second day of Pesach, or more specifically, the 16th day of Nisan. Now, the purpose of the Karban Omer is as follows: all grains that grew over the course of the year. I'm not a farmer, nor do I even pretend to be. So yes, last week I went to the farm, and I picked fruit on the farm as well. But that's about it. The growing of grain, and specifically that of barley or all grains for that matter, is a 6-month process, and in Eretz Yisrael it happens over the winter. So in other words, the seeds are planted, the grain is grown, and it basically harvest happens sometime in the spring. And then with the harvesting of it, so then you take it home and you eat it, right? And the Torah says, no, that's not right. The Torah says that all those grains that grew over the course of the season are usser. Chadash usser min haTorah. New grains that grew this year are usser. Until what point in time? Until the Karban Omer is brought on the 16th day of Nisan, otherwise known as the second day of Pesach. Once the Karban Omer is brought, that Karban Omer is a matir. It allows now for all that grain to be eaten. So it changes the status. This Minchas Omer will change the status of all new grain to go from that which is Aser to that which is Mutter. So this Mincha over here has a very specific function. It serves as a Matir. Amarav, which brings us now to Agamar. Minchas Omer shekamsa shalol shma psula. So if the Kemitza of the Karban Omer is done shalol shma, so it will disqualify. Now, why? Holvat lahatir v'lo itira. Because over here, this mincha has a specific mission. The mission of this mincha is to provide heter. And since it's not providing heter, because kavana is what is doing it, is the key to this particular mincha. So without kavana, therefore it's not matir, and therefore if it's not matir, it's disqualified altogether. And the same thing could be said regarding the Asham Nazir and that of an Asham Mitzara. Sheshachton Shalolashma, where if it's Shechton Shalolashma, it will be possible. Why? Hov al lahachshir v'lo hachshir, because again, it has a mission. It's there to provide hachshir, it's there to allow the past Mitzara and the past Nazir to now enter into the base of Mikdash in Karbanas. And if the Kohen does not have the right Kavana, so because it's not performing its mission, so therefore it's disqualified. So this is the thesis of Rav. So Rav is actually adding, by the way, he's not only adding to our list over here in Menachos, he's adding also to the first Mishnah in Zvachim as well. In other words, when you have, I'm going to try to say this carefully, when you have mission-based karbanos, purpose-based karbanos, so with a machshav of shelo lishma, the karban becomes disqualified. By Menachos, that's a karban omer. By karbanos, that's the Asham Nazir and the Asham Mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, what is Rav talking about? Like, what's he saying? Tanan. Look at our Mishnah. Like, just read our Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to be giving a comprehensive list. Well, if the Mishnah is giving a comprehensive list, Rav, wouldn't you suggest that our Mishnah should also include the Minchas Omer? Now, Kiketani ba yachid ba tzibar lo ketani. So the Gemara says, well, Rav will explain to you why it's not listed in our Mishnah. Number one, says the Gemara, our Mishnah was only focused on private menachos, not public menachos. This is a minchas tzibur, and our Mishnah wasn't talking about a mincha of a tzibur. And ki ketani, lo ketani. Ki tani ba'a beglal atzma ba'a beglal zevach lo ketani. And also, the minchas omer is a mincha, but also it's companioned with an actual carbon itself. And our Mishnah wasn't talking about that. Our Mishnah was only limited to menachos that are self-standing menachos. And finally, ki ketani hanach she'en kavul amzman ha'de kavul azman lo ketani. And our Mishnah was talking about menachos that are not calendarically connected. The minchas omer obviously is calendarically connected, and that's why it's not included in the Mishnah. Okay, so three reasons, three explanations in terms of why the minchas omer is not in the Mishnah. Even though, functionally speaking, Rav says the same thing, that Shelo Lishma will be a poser, will disqualify. Okay, more on this topic, and we're going to see over the course of the rest of today's daf and tomorrow's daf whether or not Rav's position is in fact accepted. Spoiler alert: it's not accepted. But in other words, and we'll see why it's not accepted. Okay, so let's just quickly recap. Over the course of today, we finally went over the third explanation of the discrepancy between the two positions of Rabbi Shimon, that of Ravashi's understanding, and we went over the flaws or the reasons why each Amara will not accept the other Amara's explanation. Why didn't Rav accept the viewpoint of Rava and Ravashi, and same thing with Rava, and same thing with Ravashi? Why didn't they accept the others? And the various flaws within each explanation in terms of how to resolve Rabbi Shimon. And then we started today's Daf Dalet. We went over those menachos where Shelo Lishma will disqualify. Our Mishnah said the Mincha V'chote and the Mincha V'sota. Mincha V'chote, very simple explanation. It's a Karban Chatas. Just like by Karban Chatas, it's a posel. A Shelo Lishma will be a posel. Same thing with a Mincha V'chote. What about the Mincha V'sota? It's not there for Kapar, it's there for clarification. So why is it that Shelo Lishma becomes a disqualifier? So the answer is it's a drasha. It's based on the pasuk and the word, specifically he. Finally, the last part of today's daf is Rav's inclusion of other menachos that Shelo Lishma will disqualify, notably the mincha of the Omer. And why isn't it listed in the Mishnah? So that's what we went through so far this morning, various explanations in terms of why it isn't in the Mishnah, if in fact Rav is correct. And what we will do from this point going forward tomorrow is test this thesis of Rav that a minchas Omer, Shelo Lishma, is disqualified.